This is MFG Out Loud. Courageous conversations about sales and marketing for today's manufacturers. With your hosts, Ray Zaganto and Allison DeFore.
Hey, Trailblazers. It's Ray and Allison here to talk to you this week about the big pandemic we're facing. 2020 is not starting out the way any of us had hoped. In fact, if we could return it and get a full refund, I'm sure we would. But this has been a long haul for us in a short period of time. And I know many of you out there, and Allison and I are hearing from our clients, our friends, our connections. Many are trying to wrap your heads around what's next for your business during this coronavirus pandemic, and what's the new normal going to look like when the air clears. So we wanted to spend some time today talking to you about that. And, you know, one of the first things you can do to start looking to the future, and I know it's uncertain, but like everything else in your business, you really want to start by paying extra close attention to your customers. How are your customers adapting to this new environment? Not all of the changes that are happening are going to stick, okay? Some of this craziness is extreme by design, and hopefully we come out of it soon and well and healthy. But there are certain things that we're going to get used to, and they are going to stick around for a while. And are you ready? Are you prepared to adapt to that? This concept of changing behaviors really resonated with me, and I started doing some research on it this week, because we've all heard from different sources that say, oh, in 21 days you can change a habit, you can stop smoking, and all these different things. There's a surprising amount of science behind behavioral change and long-term behavioral change. And at the heart of it is a researcher out of the UK, Dr. Philippa Lally. And we'll put a link to her and her work in the show notes. But the bottom line, the science says it takes approximately 66 days on average to change a habit or a behavior. So, you know, with that in mind, if you think about it, the changes that are being forced on you and me and your business and your customers are going to be of a magnitude and a duration that's going to fit in that window. So that's what kind of leads me to believe that some of these changes are going to stick. So what does that mean? So to me, from a business standpoint, and Allison, you certainly need to chime in, it seems as though your competitive advantage coming out the other end of this is going to really rely on your ability to identify and align your business to your customer's new normal. Allison, what do you think of that?
I agree wholeheartedly. I think now more than ever, people are looking for leaders, right, who are strong, mm-hmm. who are steady, who are flexible, and I think who have a plan, you know, and who are acting, not just planning. I think we've got to be acting. I did a post earlier today, and that was the message was, you know, this is a time of action, and hopefully not just reaction. Like I think this will make people more proactive, more prepared. And I personally feel like we're going to come out on the other side so much better than we are today. I feel like this is the worst, best thing ever, if that makes any sense.
I get it.
You know, I think we're all going to learn a lot. And I know one of the things you and I have been talking about are, you know, we like to do this in each episode, is talking about the beliefs, right, that are holding people back, that are keeping people in slow motion right now, or even immobilized. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things is the fight or flight, right? Our lizard brain kicks in, and we go into, you know, it's me or them. Mm-hmm. And I think that's normal. What happens when we're afraid, though, is we shut down. We slow down, we stop in some cases, and we just, you know, and I find myself, I vacillate in between emotions every day, probably everybody that's listening, because we're all just human and we're all in this together. But, you know, I vacillate between, wow, I've never felt more creative in my entire life or done such great work or connected with people on such a deep, meaningful level. And then the next minute, I feel like there's a weight on my chest and almost like I'm a caged animal and I have to get outside. I have to get some fresh air. I feel like I can't breathe. So I know fear affects people in lots of different ways. And, you know, some people are unsure at this point, even for real, like,
oh, yeah,
really as bad as they're saying. And should we change much of what we're doing? That was really prevalent even a couple of days ago. I think the reality is sinking in.
Yeah.
That this is indeed real and you need to adapt.
I think there's another piece that comes with it as well. You know, you talked about the fight or flight type response. And I also think in such a deep, unsettling change, there's an element of grief and perhaps mourning over, you know, a number of disappointments. One, you know, the year that started with such promise is going to be very different. Two, damn it, we thought we had a plan and we had it all mapped out. And you know, so we're mourning the interruption of her plans. You know, and of course, the obvious mourning, just the human nature in us and our empathy for those that are suffering from this this terrible thing right now. So I agree. It is a very emotional time, and a lot of people are coping with it a lot of different ways. And business leaders see how their teams are coping with it for just a very short period of time. You know, those folks go home and lead lives and have parents and children and spouses and everything else. And it's, there's a lot going on right now. So it's, to your original point, it's entirely understandable for, the discomfort that we're feeling. I had a colleague of mine that I reached out to, a former colleague, just to touch base. And I said, you know, how are you holding up? But he commented, he says, I think this is an example where we're getting the test before we get the lesson. So, which was an interesting way of looking at it. So, you know, here we are. So what do you want to do about it?
Right. Well, and, you know, many of the questions that our clients have been talking to us about are, we made some notes here and listed a couple of them. You know, how are we going to maintain production and profitability? Yep. How many people are we going to have to let go?
Yeah. It's tough because, you know, you hear these things, and on, you know, the corollary to that is, particularly in the manufacturing space, a number of businesses and industries were very quickly designated as essential, essential businesses. So they were, you know, allowed and encouraged to keep going. And, so there's been, on the one hand, a little bit of a reprieve. Thank goodness we get to keep doing what we're doing. But it's a challenge because now it begs, well, what are the CDC or the World Health Organization requirements to keep my employees safe? You know, to if we're necessary, how do we keep the people coming back? Travel's been suspended. How do we handle our administrative staff? There's so many fundamental business operational things that are being challenged right now. Trade shows are being canceled. Yeah. You know, hell, they postponed the Olympics. You know, so you know things are really getting serious. You know, if you weren't really marketing before, now what? I get calls every day from salespeople going, I want to be empathetic, but I've still got quotas. I don't know what to do. You know, do I pitch or do I pitch in? You know, so it's big challenges up and down organizations.
I've had senior leaders and, you know, marketing directors that we work with, and they ask me, should we stay silent or should we speak up? And if we speak up, what do we say?
Yeah.
So that's been a big, and that's some of the things that we wanted to cover today, because the whole purpose of this podcast is to have these courageous conversations and to help people, help manufacturers help themselves, right? Mm-hmm. That's always been our vision. So Craig Webb did a webinar earlier today, and it was brilliant. And they talked about this, and some of the questions were, do you think these changes will remain, or do you think things will return to the old normal? And the prevalent answer thus far, and I agree with this, is I don't think this normal will ever exist again. I think things are going to change. That said, I really think things are going to get better. You know, some things will be the same. Some things will go back to the way they were before, but many things are going to change. And I think this is going to be good for us.
It forces evolution. I mean, it's a stimulus response, you know, type thing. If there's no real reason to change or evolve, benign or otherwise, you know, then you're really only going to have, you know, the small end of the curve that's constantly looking for ways to innovate will be out there, you know, trying to do some things. But you know what? Here we are. This is a bell we can't unring. And what I'm seeing, and you know, recommendations I'm giving to people that I'm talking to, is you know, first of all, stay as close to your customers as you possibly can. And you know, I'll probably repeat this a number of times. As important as it is to find out what they want from you right now, it's equally important to find out what they don't want. It might be stop sending your salespeople over here to knock on the door. You know, we're putting out fires just like you are. We don't have time for, you know, so there may be some things that you need to adjust on. But if what you're doing is in line with the needs of your customer, you're not going to go wrong. That being said, getting together with your leadership team and getting the message, you know, pushed down as far as you can in the organization, you've got to be talking about, okay, this, we're seeing some signs, some things that might become our new normal. What's our ability to innovate around those things? How can we adjust and adapt our business to meet those new things and perhaps turn them into a competitive advantage, you know, for us? How can we leverage those changes and align them better for our business? What new tools or information or resources should we be proactively exploring right now so that when we are able to sort out of these 20 things that we see in our environment that are different today than they were yesterday, once the five stick that are changes that you know are for sure going to be there, you'll know what to do about it because you've already thought about it. It's very much an exercise in scenario planning. And I think that's so important for businesses to do right now.
Well, and one of my favorite quotes from Ray Dalio is evolve or die.
Yeah.
Right. And it's ironic. I have a coaster here that one of my super friends brought me back from Italy last year. And with what's happening there currently, this coaster has more meaning for me than it ever did before. And on the bottom, she wrote, evolve or die. Wow. Love, C. And I was looking at that today and I thought, wow. Funny how there's foreshadowing and before you become aware of it. And another thing I saw on LinkedIn yesterday from Delta Airlines CEO Ray Bastian, he said something that really resonated with me. And he said, crises don't build character. Crises reveal character. Yeah. And I thought, you know, that is so beautiful and so true of manufacturers, right? And us as really as Americans, and I think to include everyone around the globe, us as humans, I think we're really, you know, in times like this, your character is what is revealed. So that's why we exist, right? And that's how we try to help guide our clients and our colleagues and conduct ourselves so that during this kind of crisis that, you know, how we show up is how we're going to be remembered. And so I think, as always, we want to help manufacturers get tactical, right?
Right.
Let's jump right in and talk about what they can do and how they can show up. So I think one of the first things, which you already touched on, was be active, be agile, and be available online. That has never been more important than it is right now. And so for those manufacturers who are, I don't know, maybe a little behind, make sure your website is up to speed. And that doesn't mean you've got to go out and spend a bunch of money. What I mean by that is make sure your content is updated. You can work with your in-house person. You can work with your, maybe you have a vendor that you work with. You know, this doesn't have to take thousands of dollars, but just take a look. See what people are seeing when they come to your site. People are spending a lot of time online now, now more than ever. And you can't be face-to-face, so you've got to take that experience and translate it digitally, right? Mm-hmm. If you weren't already, now's the time. Don't sit back and wait until this is passed. You know, another thing is be sure that you're being transparent with your customers and employees. Adapt your sales and marketing strategy, for God's sake. Like, whatever you had planned, you may need to change that. And that's okay. Yeah. And then I think you can speak to adapting operations because you've worn those shoes.
I lived in the operating environment in 2003 when SARS was going through China, and you know, at that time, and had a considerable manufacturing footprint there. So, completely understand how critical it is to, you know, you've got customers all over the world that are depending on you to get stuff out the door, and while they're sympathetic, you know, how do you do it? And frankly, there are many more tools available today to be able to help with remote work from your, you know, whether it's your technical staff, your project management team, customer service. You know, there are a lot of customer-facing departments that it's much easier to get off-site now than it was then. From an operations standpoint, how do you maintain new guidelines for distancing on an assembly line that's not built that way? You know, so there's a lot of scrambling in terms of either laying out new lines, improvising on PPE, personal protective equipment, you know, and those types of things just to keep people safe while they're there. Never mind the challenge of just getting them there, because that's a very personal decision. Again, we'll go back to what you said at the beginning. People are scared, and there are probably, you can never fault a person for feeling what they're feeling. And if they feel that they are at risk in an environment and it's better for them and their family to not be there, guess what? They've made a decision. Now what? So yeah, it's a big challenge.
Well, and another thing, you know, secondary supply chain alternatives. Mm-hmm. I think if you didn't already have those in place, it's not a bad time. Would you agree or disagree?
I totally agree. I think it, again, every time I've seen a shock to supply chain, whether it's medical due to environmental, you know, an act of nature, geopolitical something. Anytime there's a shock, there's an adjustment, and for better or worse, that adjustment started over the last year or so because of some of our tariff battles that we've been having. This just drove it home. That's something. If you haven't started it, my gosh, it has to be on the top of the list going forward.
Absolutely. And you know, another thing that's so important is an ongoing and fluid dialogue, right? Online, on the phone, via text. It's surprising to me, you know, how many manufacturers haven't adopted text messaging, utilizing that service at scale, because that's a great way, right, for you to stay in touch with people. And just Gary Vaynerchuk does a great job with this, and he's the one that I think really started driving the texting as part of your marketing home, probably last year. But to, you just get that little message pop up, and it's not salesy, right? It's like, hey, how you doing today? You know, and it's usually something inspirational. He might send you like, here's a link if you want to, you know, be part of this thing that we're recording later today or whatever. But it's just always this little, just this little message, this little way to stay connected. And, you know, again, I keep seeing companies that are still sending out these salesy social media posts.
Oh, yeah.
Stop. People don't want to be sold right now. They really don't. And, you know, I think ultimately they want to be seen, they want to be heard, and they want to be supported. I'm not saying that you're not going to sell. I mean, commerce has to continue. We don't have to stop selling and doing business. That must continue. It's crucial. But I think it can be done in a more empathetic, insensitive way. And we're going to share some great examples, I think, in a couple minutes on that.
Perfect.
This is something that I encourage clients to do always. And I think right now it's more important than ever, is to talk like a human, right? Corporate speak, not going to work for you right now. Especially if you're the CEO, especially if you are a larger brand, right? That's maybe typically, I don't know, a little on the colder side. You've got a lot of red tape. You're super cautious with, you know, maybe your voice and your personality. Maybe they're a little chilly, right? A little less friendly. I think now's the time to change that up and make sure that you are being very human, very real, and speaking the way your customers speak.
Right. No, I agree. And it's, circling back for a second on those, taking the opportunity, even for the intercompany communication, to have those chances to speak with the team, to engage with your team in a very genuine way is so important. There are so many excellent examples online that I'm seeing, and the tech guys are leading. I'm seeing a lot of leadership in this area, where they're having many online town halls where they're saying, okay, here's what's going on, here's where we're at. CEO of Marriott Corporation did an excellent job of addressing the crisis with his team.
Yes.
And communicating honestly with your team doesn't mean you just tell them everything is all rosy and it's going to be fine. What your team needs is to know that you're being honest with them. And sometimes honesty brings with it some rough news to hear, but along with that, they want to know, well, what are you doing about it? And that's a pretty good example. If you get a chance, if anybody gets a chance to find that one online and check it out. This is the first CEO that Marriott's had from outside the family, and clearly demonstrating some real leadership in a difficult time. What industry has taken it harder, aside from restaurants, probably, but the hospitality industry right now. Yeah, so, you know, there. I think just anecdotally, in 2008, 2009, they saw occupancy rates drop down into the, by 20 or 30%, something like that. Right now, they've got properties that have dropped 95%. So it's devastating. And how do you ride that out? You have to communicate.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, one way to do that, you mentioned the town halls. I think manufacturers have a huge opportunity right now. You could create webinars, you know, for your customers, and they could be more town hall like, where you know, you bring in speakers digitally who are talking just like we are here. You don't have to be in the same room. This is not something that takes a tremendous amount of effort, energy, or expense to set up it's not that difficult. You can take advantage of this. You can stay connected. And especially the fact that the trade shows, many have been canceled, at least the ones coming up here.
Right.
Take advantage of that, right? Create your own little trade show experience, because what were people coming to the show to see? Well, they were coming to party. We all know that. They were coming to see what's new. So create a little experience for them. I should know who this is because I'd like to give him a shout out. I'll try and do it in the show notes, but it was a manufacturer I saw a couple days ago on LinkedIn, and they created a little video tour of their booth. They set it up out in the warehouse and they walked you through and they talked about what was new and what you could use it for, what you could do with it, what problems it solved. It was really cool. And it didn't feel salesy. It felt personal. And it's creative. So,
you know, what's ironic is because you and I know we've got a schedule for the topics that we're going to address, and this session is taking the place of how B2B is becoming like B2C.
Yeah.
You know, before we were our thinking was, gosh, it's sure moving that way. You should get ready. Now we're living why it needs to be that way.
Right,
it's being forced upon us. So if there ever was an opportunity, you know, don't waste a crisis. This is it. This is where you can make that pivot, and it's really going to have a positive impact on your business.
Well, and I think you and I are living proof of that. We've been talking about and working on this podcast for a year, and we launched it on St. Patrick's Day during a pandemic.
Right.
Today we're showing up with video. I have resisted video for a long, long time. And so this is not comfortable for me. I know you never met a mic you didn't like, but
self-admitted.
I am not the video butterfly, if you will, that some people are. And so this is me getting over my fear, putting myself out there, because we want to show up and we want to be helpful and we want to be supportive. So I think, we're living proof that, and did we know how to create a podcast before we did it? No. Did we know how to do these videos? No. And you know, you pivot and you adapt.
Exactly.
Evolve or die. Another thing is senior leaders, you know, can create like a vlog or even a blog. I mean, you don't have to video yourself, but you have this unique opportunity right now that even if you don't feel comfortable putting it out to the masses, you could use it as an internal tool to stay connected with your teams, especially if you have a global team and you have people like most of my direct contacts that I work with, they're in charge of people all over the world. And it's been very important to keep this connection, even though you can't travel and see each other face to face.
Well, I know more and more I'm been invited to a couple virtual happy hours, where the departments will get together and, you know, online and, that's part of what's evolving, because I think we're all still trying to find how do we, while maintaining physical distance, how do we maintain social connection?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
well, and I think talking about, and I would love for you to take the lead on this, transparent leadership, right? This is the time. If you've been quiet, if you have been a manufacturer who isn't really vocal, this is the time for you to show up and be a transparent leader. And again, you know, because you've been a CEO of manufacturing companies. And, you know, I think you being very outgoing and a character, I think it's easier for you. But if you can speak to this, I think people would really like to hear what you have to say about this from an insider's perspective.
You know, I think what matters most, it isn't the flowing prose that someone might be able to, this isn't... What Independence Day, that great speech, you know, that's not what's expected, and that's not what's required. The best leaders I have ever either worked for, worked with, had the privilege of being in the presence of, weren't necessarily, myself included, they weren't necessarily the best public speakers, but what they said was heartfelt. It was sincere. It was empathetic, and it was there was purpose to what they were saying. So, to the manufacturing leaders that are listening to us right now, don't feel that, well, if I'm not a good public speaker, I'm not comfortable there. Again, just for you, probably have conversations with people in your shop when you walk in through the back door, and the couple of sentences you say to them probably fire them up more for the day and motivate them more than you'll ever know or understand. Speak to them that way. These people are your friends. They're your family. They're your work family, and they're counting on you to help them navigate through this. And they're going to give you all they've got to make it happen. Just give them honesty, give them transparency, and let them know you're not going to let them down, and you ask the same of them.
You and I have seen this firsthand when we go visit clients, and there's nothing we love more than to do a plant tour, right? And to really walk around with the CEO or the COO or senior leadership or whoever our person is, and to watch how they interact with every single person they pass on the floor. Right. It is, you can tell what kind of leader they are and what kind of culture they have. And there's just nothing that, I don't know, makes my heart happy when I see, they're like, hey, how you doing? Mm-hmm. How you doing, Fred? How you doing, Betsy? Like, how's your daughter? I mean, even as we're walking through, and this is like a, business meeting and a tour, but they take the time. And I think that's super important right now. And in this, how to be tactical, I think it's really important to remember to ask.
Yeah.
We don't always have to fix. We need to ask first and really listen. Sometimes people just need to be heard. And, I know this is a much longer episode than we normally have. So I would say, in terms of selling online, if you're not already set up to do that, is that something you could adopt at least for partial orders or some of your SKUs? I know that e-commerce can, it can take a year or two to get set up properly. So I'm not suggesting you just jump in and do it because it's so simple. But is there something you could do, right, to help customers order online and have curbside pickup? There could be a whole episode just on that, so I won't go into it. But I think creating those channels for building your virtual or digital rapport, it's never been more important.
I think that's going to be, in terms of the new opportunity or the big frontier for sales and marketing right now in manufacturing, is who's able to get their arms around doing this virtually and getting good at it. They're going to win. I think that's who's going to take the prize.
And I think there's no better time to optimize your brand's value. Mm-hmm. And some people might say, I got a shit of the things to worry about right now. Marketing isn't my focus. And I think we want people to understand, what is your brand providing to customers that is value driven and not advertisement based? So when we're talking about, after the dust settles, will people remember that your brand was there for them, or that your brand went quiet? You didn't hear from them. You have no idea what they were doing through this. So just something to think about in terms of, leadership and adapting, to remember that this is a great time to to think
about? Think about it this way too, because the customers that are depending on your company for the products or services that you provide, they want to know, it's important that they know, hey, if you're healthy, that's one less thing I have to worry about on my end. And if you're still thinking and innovating and, you know, get your shoulder to the wheel, you know, type thing, that's one less thing they've got to worry about. So if for no other reason, find a way to let your customers know, we're here, we've got you, let's go. You know, that's what they need right now. And that's where, you know, your branding and your marketing communication, just that, as you said, that little bit of a regular drip, 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 let them know, it's like, we're here, we got you, let's keep moving.
Yeah.
That's so important.
Yeah, I think this is where you really shine, right? You're building allegiance and loyalty. And remember, too, it's never a dumb thing to ask for help. It's not weak, it's smart.
Yeah.
So real quick, we had talked about a couple of really positive examples. People that are jumping in right now with both feet. And U-Haul, for example, is offering free storage. They're not necessarily a manufacturer, but I think it's important to see, again, look outside of manufacturing and learn from, you know, what others are doing. Entrepreneur Magazine, for example, and a myriad of other people have done this, but this was particularly helpful this week. Free tools to help you work through this crisis with your team and your customers. So that's out there if you look on entrepreneur.com. Disney donating surplus food for food banks, as as their park remains closed. And you had mentioned a couple.
There were really three things in particular. National Association of Manufacturers, as an organization, is hosting webinars to help businesses navigate through this. Check with your local trade and industry groups. Everyone that I've seen, certainly in and around the Chicago area, is being very proactive with their membership. And also the MEPs, Manufacturing Extension Partnerships, are excellent resources right now. In the Chicago area, you've got IMAC, Illinois, doing an extraordinary job. They're all over the country, and they are built to help manufacturers through times like this. So lean on them.
Absolutely. So we need to wrap up.
Okay.
Fired up. I absolutely fired up. As you can see,
blazing away.
Right. In spite of this crisis. So anyone who's listening, please feel free to reach out to us with a question or a challenge that you need help with. That is what we are here for. You. Remember, we are all in this together. We're resilient. We're capable. We're innovative and we're strong. And as always, thank you so much for listening, for being a part of this tribe of manufacturing trailblazers. If you're not already, please subscribe to this podcast. It means the world to us, the support, and sharing is caring. So tell a colleague to tune in and get real already.
There you go. Hey, before we sign off, I wanted to share a quote I found this morning online that I thought was particularly relevant at this time. And it goes like this. The pessimist complains about the wind. The optimist expects it to change. The leader adjusts the sails. And that was by John Maxwell. So with that in mind, remember to keep manufacturing out loud. We need you. Stay healthy, everybody. This too shall pass.
Thank you for listening to MFG Out Loud with Ray Zaganto and Allison DeFore. You can subscribe and find show notes at mfgoutloud.com.